Hey, I'm Daniel Colburn.
And I'm Caleb Porzio.
Welcome to 20% Time, where two coworkers discuss one programming topic every Friday for less than 20 minutes. Hey, Caleb.
Hey, Daniel.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So a little bit of follow-up on last episode. So you had a blog post that very closely related to model traits. You want to talk about that for a sec?
Yeah, that's true. That's a blog post I had written a while back, and it's funny that it was released like right around the time we talked about model traits. Basically, the idea is that when you write one of those one-off model traits, so let me back up a bit. In the model, there's something called the boot method, and you can write stuff. Anything written in the boot method runs every time the model boots up, I guess, right? Like, is it created in a Laravel application? And so often people use it to register model event listeners. So if you want to do something every time that model is created or destroyed, you would do it in the boot method. And so sometimes those things like my example was a trait like has image. So if you have some model and it has an image and you might want to do fancy things related to the image, and like we talked about, you might want to isolate some of that logic into a separate trait called has image. You might have a boot method that, let's say, deletes the image from the file system every time the model is deleted. So it would make sense to put that boot method inside the has image trait. But if you have multiple traits with multiple boot methods, obviously that won't work and Laravel won't know what to do. So there's actually something built in.
It's because like you're overwriting the boot method of the model that the trait is on.
Exactly. One of them would win. I don't know which one. I don't even know if they would run. I honestly don't know. But bad things would happen. Everything wouldn't
bad
work out.
Bad things.
Yeah. So there's a magic method called boot, and then you like camel case or studly case the name of the trait. So if I have a trait has image, you would have a method in that trait called boot has image, and then Laravel would internally run that method every time the model is booted. So you could have boot method logic in your one-off traits. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. So I'm going to go ahead and call that magic method proof that Taylor wants us to use one-off traits.
Yeah, that is the message that he's sending us through model.php. Yes.
Proof. Proof positive. Taylor speaks through code.
Yep. So funny that you mentioned the model trait thing. Do you want to mention what happened last week after we recorded that, or 2 weeks ago?
Yes, this was amazing. This was probably the highlight of my life. Jeffrey Way. So we had been talking about model traits, and one of the impetuses of our conversation, one of the impeti of our conversation about model traits was a Laracast episode from the Whipping Monstrous Code into Shape series. And I guess Jeffrey heard our podcast. I tweeted to him and asked him his opinion on it. And I guess, anyway, he heard the podcast and then proceeded to create a Laracast episode about this very thing. So if you want to hear Jeffrey's opinion on single-use traits, you can go do that. It was in the PHP Bits section, and I believe it was called single-use traits.
Yeah.
Or maybe feature traits? I don't remember.
Yep. So it happened. Our podcast was featured on Laracast. We've made
yes.
it.
Yes. He looked at our website, and our little faces appeared. So we can all die happy now.
Exactly. Yep.
Awesome. So what are we talking about this week?
Yeah. So before we jump into that, let me just quick mention. This is a new segment I just coined called This Week in PRs. And I'll try to keep it really quick.
Go on.
But basically, there's been a couple exciting things happening in the Laravel pull request I just wanted to mention quick. And so I never used to follow the pull requests. I don't know why, but one day I realized, hey, if I follow this thing, I'll know everything that's going on in Laravel and that's upcoming, you know, before it happens, and be in the know and look at people making things. So I highly recommend you do that. Just like github.com/Laravel/framework, and then just look at the PRs, and you can do it every week, every day, or whenever. It's fun to do.
Every hour.
Every hour, right. So actually, I just checked right before we started recording, and recently I was having this, and I'm sure you've had this thought, like, so every time you install a package in Laravel, you have to add the service provider to apps or config/app.php, right? And does that bug you as much as it bugs me sometimes?
Yeah. It's even worse when you have to add it, like, multiple places.
Right.
And like, then the whole vendor publish thing is annoying too. There's a lot of like steps to making a composer installed package work in Laravel.
Yeah. When I first started out with Laravel and composer in general, this package service provider thing was bewildering to me. It was definitely like a hurdle. It felt very in the guts of Laravel, and I didn't feel qualified to like, I don't know, deal with that. And I didn't even know what a service provider was. I just was like, oh, this is the obligate. And then you install a couple and you go, oh, this is the thing you have to do every time you install a package for some reason, you know?
Right.
So anyway, the pull request is Dries Vince. I don't know how to say his name correctly. Dries Vince.
I figured it was Dries, but I could Dries, be wrong.
Let's go with that. Dries Vince pull requested something that basically makes it automatic now. And it leverages a fancy thing in the composer.json file called extras, but we don't have to get into that. But the idea is that now, in the future, you should be able to just composer install or composer require the package you want, and then it will tell Laravel what service providers it wants Laravel to load.
Wow.
And you can disable that functionality if you want in a config option, but it'll just be automatic. So no more providers management headache stuff. So...
That's awesome. So that means that if I was trying to hack a Laravel website, I could do it without raising any red flags in their version control by just composer requiring my malicious package, and automation would do all the work for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they've thought of this and I'm not thinking of something, but yeah. I mean,
I just go evil, you know? You tell me about new things, new automation. I'm like, how could this be exploited?
Nice.
Anyway, and you had a PR recently.
Yeah, a super small little thing. I made a string helper function for myself. Sorry, a helper function called string after, str_after. And it's pretty much what it sounds like. You pass in a string, and then you tell it what you want. So you pass in a string, let's say a sentence. Let's say there's a semicolon in the middle of that sentence. The second parameter would be a semicolon, and then it would return everything after the semicolon. So it just returns everything after a search key that you pass in. So I found it super handy, and I'm using it all the time, actually. And so I just decided to PR it, and people liked it, and it got pulled in. So check that out if you're interested in a new helper function. And I think that is available in PHP 5.4.24, which is available right now. So if you compose or update, you'll get it. Yep.
Awesome. So we have now spent 9.5 minutes on minutia. So,
all right.
What are we talking about this week?
Let's talk about the routes file.
Let's talk about the routes file. So you have a tweet, that I come across every once in a while when I'm scrolling through your Twitter, which I do semi-regularly because it's full of useful nuggets.
Oh boy. Blushing.
And this tweet is, it all starts with a good routes file.
It all starts with a good routes file. Yeah, that came out of, I don't know. I mean, I've just thought long and hard on routes files, like a lot of people have. And I was just sitting there one day working on a routes file and realizing that, that just came to me. Like, it all starts with a good routes file. This is just this statement I want, like, plastered on the wall. Every time you get a new Laravel application, like, where do you start? You start with the routes file. If you're called to work on someone else's application
or anything.
Shouldn't
you start with a test?
Probably. I mean, if they exist, the last... I had a freelance project recently where it was basically... I just had to audit a Laravel application and tell them how to do it better. And there were no tests, and I imagine that's the case for a lot of apps like that. I had to start with the routes file, and it can make your life really hard or really easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all about them routes.
Talk to me about what makes a good routes file. In the canon of Caleb Porzio.
I don't know about that. For me, I think a good routes file is one that's... I don't have a good answer for that. I just have a bunch of random thoughts, I think, on routes files.
Okay. So one of the things that has happened a little bit recently with me is that I have become more into nested groups of rats.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? How deeply should one nest rat groups?
Yeah, I wasn't a deep nester before, but after some code review with and pairing with Matt, he definitely showed me the ways of the route groups. In fact, he route groups routes that don't even need a group. Like, he just has an empty group to stay consistent with the grouping. So, yeah. So that's hardcore. I think he does that. I hope I'm not misspeaking. At least he knows people that do that.
Yeah, and the thing that really, like, changed my mind, because what I did, one of the things that was always appealing to me about the routes file was that it was mostly just a list of routes, you know, and that, you know, you could use a little bit of white space in the occasional route group to make it a little bit more readable.
Right.
But the thing about the deep route nesting is that you can do all of this cool middleware nesting with your route groups, and it's so sick. So recently I was working on an API. It was a multi-tenant API that would be used by different people, and there, we had this concept of streams, and streams are basically like a bunch of posts that meet a certain criteria, right? In formatted in a certain way,
right?
And different teams who were using the app needed access to different streams, so we needed to have basically tenant specific route groups, but they needed to like have certain middleware that was applied at like a higher level. So I basically had like tenant specific route groups inside of other route groups. So I had, you know, the middleware for, you know, these particular types of API endpoints. And then within that group, I had another group that basically like checked, you know, the authentication of the user and whether that user was in a team and blah, you know?
Yep.
And so that was really cool. Basically it was nested middleware, and that is, I feel like that might be like something that could have a lot of really cool magic in it. I just haven't like gotten to really play around with it yet, but I've thought a bunch about like a million ways that I could take logic out of the controller and put it in nested middleware.
Right. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, no, definitely. And the great thing about it is it's middleware, so it's kind of hidden. You know, it's not in your controller, and it's not in your routes per se, like the logic of it, but it's explicitly stated in the routes file. So people don't have to, which is awesome. What I used to authorize in the controller strictly. So I would do like this authorize or gate can or can't or something like that. And then just a little bit of code. And my controller methods were basically like little block of validation, little block of authorization, maybe an eloquent manipulation, and then return some response. So anyway, I was able to clean up a lot of that cruft when I found out that you can use authorization in the middleware. You can create authorization middleware, and the syntax is like can colon update, and then you pass in like the name of the model. So it's totally awesome, and it leverages that implicit route model binding. That's a big fancy word, which means so in your controller methods, instead of passing through an ID and then finding that ID in Eloquent, you can just type in a model, and it'll just handle it all for you. Laravel will just pass through that model. So that's just a quick note on that.
Yeah. So basically, you pass in the ID of whatever model you're looking for. So if you pass in like one in a slot that is type hinted as a user, you get user with ID one.
Exactly. Right. Which is totally, and that's another thing in itself. These are all things that just like little by little have made that whole route controller experience much better. Yeah, middleware is definitely one of them. Personally, like the latest, I don't know, iteration of me and my philosophies on routing and controller. So I've been all about this this resourceful controller thing. Where are you on that?
I am so all about it.
You're all about it. Yeah.
I'm all about it. I'm all about it to the point that I am actually working on a little bit of little fun open source code related to resource views. but that's a whole other thing for another day.
Whoa. Yeah, I can see it already. Resource view dot index. Done.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, it's a cool
thing.
Yeah.
The resourceful thing is probably a whole other podcast, but this whole routes thing sort of came about. I started using route resource instead of route get and post. Have you messed with that at all?
Yes, absolutely. So route resource basically gives you all of the routes that you would expect for like a normal CRUD resource.
Right.
Like your index and your show and your all of those. And then you pass it a controller and it points to the appropriate methods on that controller. So you can create a resource controller and a resource route group. And basically you have one line in your routes file and your controller basically gets spun up and all of those routes correspond to methods in your resource controller.
Right.
So it's a very, if you have a simple like CRUD, like this thing needs to get created and deleted and updated and blah, blah, blah. It's like a super easy way to set it up.
Yeah. It's awesome. And I have dreams of a routes file that is just a straight list of resources. Similar,
right.
Yeah. So similar to my
a routes file that's a straight list of resources and then a model that's a straight list of feature traits.
Exactly. And so I took the teaching from DHH and Adam and Jeffrey on resource, your controllers being nothing but a list of resourceful methods. And it can, you know, help a lot in your code and it'll trickle down and remove a lot of patterns and things like that. So I really love it. And so I've been using it strictly and I thought, well, if I'm using this thing strictly, then why do I need anything but route resource? So when I started at Titan, like my first project, my routes file was a giant list of route resources. And one unintended side effect, route resource registers routes for all of the possible resourceful method names, even if you're only using one.
Right.
So that's kind of lame. And so I actually like wrote this hack to use like PHP's reflection thing and then check and only register the ones that need registered.
That sounds super slow.
So I mentioned it to Keith and I was like, hey, what do you think about this? He's like, yeah, I don't know about that. And so basically what I found is that not a lot of people think route resource is cool. And I've sort of figured out why. And I've completely stopped using it. At least until it gets superpowers, because mm-hmm. you just don't get there's so many little inconsistencies and little things that you just need that control over. So unfortunately I've retired route resource in my apps and I'm only using route get and post and store and all that. But I still have dreams.
Here's where I'm at on route resource. I'm basically of the opinion that you should use route resource until you can't. So until your needs break route resource, then use it. So like with my task manager app, everything was route resource at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then as things became clear that like, oh, this is no longer a route resource type of a problem, then it's very easy to swap out, you know, manually create a couple of routes.
Yeah.
So my thought is like start with route resource and then if it breaks, then break it. And don't feel too precious about doing that.
Yeah, definitely don't feel too precious about breaking the route resource because you get into a world of pain when you're trying to hack it. And you can't chain things on the end of route resource like you can on the end of get and post. Like you can't just chain like the name fluent method and then pass in the name and then middleware and stuff like that. You can't do that. So it's kind of a bummer. But but until that gets love, I'm not doing that. For me personally, I just don't mix them anymore. Something about that just feels wrong to me that I see resource in one place and then like a broken out list in another place. Cause it's, I don't know. Something about it just feels like if I got rid of all the route resources, people would know the lay of the land. Like they would go in and they'd be like, okay, he uses route groups to specify these little isolated domain route groups and they have their own middlewares and things. And they, you know, so I don't know. That's me, but I'm down either way.
So I have a hypothetical for you.
Okay.
And this hypothetical is not actually hypothetical. This is a real life problem. So say I'm working on a multi-tenant app that may or may not be the same app that I was talking about before. And there are certain features of the app that only need to be used by one of the teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
So for example, let's say that there were like post listing, post editing, and post creation SPAs within this app, right?
Okay.
And so say they're at like posts or write or edit, right? So it's like app.com/post, app.com/edit, app.com/write.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So say that one team needs all three of those, and when they go to like the root URL, they want to end up at the /write
okay
endpoint, right?
Yep, right.
And then say that another team only needs post listing, and they have no interest in writing or editing any posts. They just want to be able to list posts,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
And so when they go to the root URL, they want to end up at /posts, and we want to remove, basically, we want to remove those pages completely from their instance of the app, right?
Right.
So how would you do this? My thoughts about how to do this redirect are many and varied.
Okay.
So like, what does your routes file look like in that case? Because for me, what I'm thinking is, at this point, I'm creating a home controller and I'm doing all the logic in the controller.
Here's what I would do. And this may be crazy. So your one option is to do it in middleware. And I'm not a huge fan of redirection in middleware,
nope.
But a pattern that I've found for my routes files, at the top, there's route, there's root route, and then it accepts a callback where I redirect conditionally. So it's like I'm totally breaking the convention of the rest of the routes file, and I'm just basically saying like, the root route is something that's so sensitive and changing. I guess you could easily extract it into a home controller, but I'd rather call it like root route controller or something like that. I would do it straight in there. If it got too long, I would pull it into a controller. But I think it's reasonable, and I like it there. I like it at the top of the routes file, that it's like right out with it. Like, here's where we're going to redirect the user when they hit the root. Because if they're an admin, they're going to see /admin. If they're not, they're going to see this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I do it. And that's how I would do it.
Interesting. Okay.
What about you?
So right now I'm basically doing the same thing, except I do have it in the controller. But so this is the thought. I want to store... And this is, tell me if you think this is weird. I want to store the name of the route that I want you to go to, dependent on your team, as a piece of data on the team. You know what I'm saying?
Right, like a property in the team model or something, or in the database or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because right now there's only two teams, but there will be more teams in the future. And I'm not sure if I exactly want to just store the name of the team, or whether I want to store some other variable that points to some config that contains the name of the team, right?
Right.
And so that could be, you know, where I could just end up having like some data stored somewhere, namespace to the team based on slug or something, because there's a lot of other stuff surrounding this besides just the redirect. It's also like, you know, what things do we put in the navigation, and you know,
right.
Do we or do we not, like, for example, right now we're talking about auto-publishing specific posts, depending on whether you're on a team or not. So one team wants to manually publish posts, another team wants to automatically publish them. And that's all dependent on the team. So there are, like, some config variables that need to go on these teams.
How many teams are there?
Right now there are two, but there's the possibility that there will be more.
Okay, and by more you mean, like, a million or 10?
10.
Okay, so something that I found source diving Laravel Spark in the Spark service provider. So in Laravel Spark, it registers the Spark service provider like right up front. And if you look at that service provider, it's basically the config for the app. And it's really cool. And it changed my thinking in a lot of ways. Like, I used to, if you asked me this a year ago, I would say, oh, well, put it in the database on the team, you know, add a row or add a column or something like
right, any. But then you actually have to hit the database to resolve that endpoint.
And even I'm not. Yeah, okay, that kind of sucks. And but like, the bigger problem for me is that like, the user is not modifying this config data. You're just putting it in the SQL, you know, you're like opening SQL Pro and doing that or something like that. Anyway, in the Spark service provider, So when you install Laravel Spark, you want to define plans for your app. So like a light plan that's $10 a month, and you get this ability and that ability, a premium plan, da da da. And you do that in the Spark service provider, and I think it's brilliant. It's just hard coded in there. Another thing is like in Spark developers. So if like to designate a user as an admin, there's not an isAdmin field in the database. There's a developer's property in the Spark service provider that says like put in the emails of the developers who you want who you want to give access to the admin kiosk. I think it's brilliant. I love it because the people who are changing that stuff are developers. It's explicit. It's hard coded. You can't accidentally lose your data. It doesn't make me feel like I need to create some sort of like admin panel where you can change this configuration. You know, like just feels really clean. So anyway. For this app, I would say create like a team service provider and just register this stuff in a really nice, you know, nice looking, fancy, fluent way, or just an array property or something like that. And then just look them up
based on the
in that service provider
or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. And then people know like this is the place to go to get that info. Yeah.
I like it.
I dig that for sure. I think we're out of time.
We are definitely out of time. 27 minutes, although we talked for a little bit at the beginning.
That's true.
And we also we did some follow-up, so let us know if you think that this show is the type of show that needs follow-up, or if you like it better that it was 20 minutes. I could go either way. So let us know if you liked that little segment at the beginning of the show, or if you just want us to stick to the meat and potatoes.
Yep, and we won't be offended. This isn't a news. There's a bunch of news podcasts, so I could see us not doing the This Week in PRs.
Like the PRs thing because it leads us into conversations. But it's a little bit confusing about like whether we want to come in with a topic, which we've been doing in the past,
right?
Or whether we want to like discover a topic from talking about PRs.
Yep.
Anyway,
yes. Let us know.
Let us know. All right. Good?
I'm good.
All right. Talk to you later.
Talk to you. Bye.
And a big shout out to Jared White for providing this music.